Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of There's Been Growth, the Capsule Podcast. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about mental health. As cliche as it may sound, mental health is not something that was, I know for me, growing up in a Black household, something that was ever really discussed growing up. Honestly, it's wild to filter some of my past experiences growing up and honestly, even in early adulthood through the lenses of what I know now about mental health. All the times I suffered, went through trauma, was experiencing depression, anxiety, burnout, and I struggled my way through it when knowing what it was and getting the support through therapy or even medication management could have given me a much more peaceful and rewarding life. Because truth be told, struggling does not get you a badge of honor. There's this mindset in the Black community that, you know, whatever you have, you should have to struggle through it. If you haven't struggled in your life, then it's not a life that has meant something. And I just don't subscribe to that. I've, you know, obviously gone through a good bit of struggle, and I probably will go through some of it to some extent past this. But, you know, it's not something that I look for, that I strive to in any capacity by any means. But the truth, for a number of reasons, is that Black people typically, especially those of previous generations, you know, the Black households that we, or those that might be about to turn 30 or close around my age range, grew up in, are not accepting of seeking or getting mental health support, or generally, honestly, trusting of medical professionals at all. You know, that's for reasons that I'm not really here to argue against. Some I understand to an extent. I remember telling my family that I was starting therapy, and they automatically thought that something was deeply wrong with me. It took me some time to change that narrative, but it just kind of speaks to the misconception when it comes to mental health. Also, you know, I think about, you know, anytime I post something mental health related on my social media, whether it be positive, negative, or what have you, but it always prompts, you know, the check-ins like, how are you doing? Are you okay? And don't get me wrong, like, I appreciate people checking in on me, but, you know, every conversation about mental health should not prompt that something is wrong, because it obviously and honestly is something that needs to be talked about more. But for those reasons and the perspectives around it, hear me out in this space, because we're going to talk about those reasons, my thoughts, and my experiences as well. To be clear, I just want to be very clear that the importance and urgency of this episode is centered around promoting proactive and positive mental health practices in the Black community specifically. As I approach 30, and you know, this whole podcast or capsule podcast is around pillars that I think about or resonate with me as I approach 30, I look back and the most important thing and best thing I did for myself is get serious about my mental health and take steps to take care of it, whether that be therapy and even more recently, medication management. That was the most important thing. Studies show that Black Americans are generally more likely to experience serious mental health issues or problems, more so than general population, especially more than our white counterparts. And that honestly should not come as any surprise. I'm not a scientist. Let's be clear. You know, I think I gave a disclaimer that I'm not a mental health professional by any means. But I do have this running theory in my mind that the oppression that our ancestors felt in previous generations has to be somewhere up in our DNA, whether it be positive through resilience or whether it be negative through some of the trauma that has been, you know, felt through generations upon generations upon generations. And honestly, when you add that to the reality of now and all the shit that's still going on in the year of 2024, we all need to be in therapy, my niggas, like, for real. Like, it is very imperative. The sad thing is that makes it worse is honestly the multitude of ways that mental health issues can show up and can honestly be attributed or excused away as so many things, and that's usually what happens, like whether it be physical things that are attributed or excused away as normal aches and pains, or whether it be thoughts or things that you think are just the way you are and you just want to continue living with that. But it has made it be really like a norm to not feel normal. Like, have you ever sat around and thought, like, okay, is the way that I'm feeling, like the heaviness or whatever Is that normal? Like, is that something that I am meant to be feeling? And I feel like growing up and being raised in the Black community, I definitely feel like feeling like that or that new normal was normalized and made to feel okay. And so getting into some of the factors that I think were deterrents for mental health services or even medical services in general, it can't be ignored the factors such as discrimination, stigma, and lack of access, especially to culturally competent healthcare services, are a big issue and deterrent to seeking care in the Black community. It is also often pushed that prayer is all you need. But to me, God made medicine and doctors, and it is within our due diligence to use it. You know, I ask a rhetorical question or just an open-ended question. What do you think God would tell you to do as you pray to him about your physical or mental health issues? Faith without works is what? You know, I'll just leave that there. There is a history of bad experiences of Black people in generalized medicine. Mental health is no exception. That definitely cannot be ignored. The Tuskegee experiments and many examples of Black families of misdiagnoses and medication being seen as a negative or a sign of shame or punishment. So for me, I was almost prescribed Ritalin in elementary school, and I was also almost shipped off to boot camp over, and all I was trying to do is navigate the trauma of my parents' divorce at a very young age. And, you know, so that's definitely one example. And I know I'm not alone in, you know, the misdiagnosis or not misprescribing of Ritalin to younger kids. Like, if you know somebody that's dealt with it or you dealt with it yourself, I feel like it's a pretty prevalent thing that happened to younger Black kids, especially that may have acted out for whatever reason that wasn't explored before trying to medicate. And additionally, I made an appointment with my primary care, and I was trying to get on PrEP, and I put that as the reason for the appointment. And I got to the doctor's office, and the nurses did not even know what PrEP was. And this was honestly like within the last 8 years. And one time I also remember I went to the doctor complaining of getting random tingles and like having random pains throughout my body. And I shit you not, he told me essentially it was because I was taking too many deep breaths. But, you know, thankfully, which, you know, is bittersweet, I years later ended up figuring out that that was, you know, really uncontrolled or out of control anxiety. So for me, you know, I could say I have many personal experiences. And truth is, there are a lot of gaps and discrepancies out there. But for me, it just really enforces the importance of advocating for yourself. You know better than anybody else how you feel. And just because a doctor is telling you something does not change the fact of how you feel and wanting to get some type of closure or a pathway to actually feel better. Also, you know, I think I'd be remiss if I did not mention that access to mental health resources is also very much an issue. But to be informative, there are resources out there that are geared towards those without insurance, or even certain therapists that provide services on a sliding scale, or they tie their rates to income or to your income. So Psychology Today, definitely Google that as a resource. It's great for finding a therapist that has different filters and to help you find someone that can really work for you that matches what you want. And a therapist, which is an important thing as well. Like, you definitely want to sit down and think about, you know, what do I want out of a therapist? What do I want them to look like? What, you know, what kind of background do I want them to have? What do I want their specialty geared towards? Like, all things that you should think about. And also, don't be afraid to reach out to many different therapists. Ask what their rates are. Explain the situation. If you are at a place where you can only pay a certain amount for therapy, if you're in between jobs, you don't have insurance, explain the situation. Ask if they offer a sliding scale of any kind or have any kind of program that can make it more cost effective for you to seek services. You honestly will sometimes be surprised what these therapists or therapy groups will be willing to do to help you out, especially more progressive ones that I've encountered that really want to see mental health services more prevalent and want to really help those that need it. Back to the point, when it comes to therapy, it's important to have someone that you can feel comfortable with. You know, I mentioned earlier, you definitely want to sit down and think about who you want as a therapist, what you want out of therapy, and who you see as someone that could best get you to that point. So if you don't feel that the first therapist or the the first person that you connect with to have an appointment with is a good fit, then, you know, look around, you know, switch therapists. Try to find someone that really makes you comfortable and that you can see growth and making progress with. That's super important. You definitely should not feel stuck with a therapist. This is something that you are paying for. It's a service that you are being provided. If you don't like the level of care that you're receiving, it's kind of counterintuitive and it's not something that you should continue with. So definitely search until you find someone that you like and that you're comfortable with and that you think is a good fit. I also say, you know, I had a friend that was not in a place where they were willing to be honest with the therapist as if they were to get one. And that's honestly something that is common that I've heard a couple of times. You know, not a lot, but I've definitely heard it before. But, you know, HIPAA definitely applies to mental health services as well. And mental health professionals telling your business would be just as wild and illegal as your doctor yelling your test results down the street. It is very important to be transparent so you can get the most out of the therapy experience. You know, you're going there to generally get help and become more self-aware and enlightened and develop coping skills and more general awareness to help you in your life. That can happen if you're not honest about your life. So that's definitely important. So that's therapy. Let's take a minute to talk about psychiatry or medication management. So let's start first with definitions. So psychiatry is the branch of medicine focused on the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of mental, emotional, and behavioral disorders. And psychiatrists offer medication management, which is a level of outpatient treatment that involves the initial evaluation of the patient's need for psychotropic medications, the provision of a prescription, and ongoing medical monitoring related to the patient's use of the psychotropic medication by a qualified physician prescriber. A lot of times, I know people get psychologists and psychiatrists, therapists, and most of those confused. I have a therapist who is a psychologist, and I also have a psychiatrist as well. Those are two different things. I do think, you know, don't quote me on this, I do think they're psychiatrists that offer counseling services, but, you know, they traditionally and by definition are two different things. But let's be clear, Black people are generally not fucking with taking pills that mess with your mind. And for the longest, honestly, neither was I, based on how I was raised and the perspective that I grew up with. But I did get to a point where I had done therapy for a minute, and therapy teaches coping, and I realized that that can only take me so far. I realized that there is just some things I can't outpace, outpray, out-therapy. Some things, you know, as I get more in tune with my body, as I grow older, as I become more self-aware, I realize there are just certain ways that I don't deserve to feel. Ways that for many have been made to feel normal, like an everyday struggle they've grown to accept like a badge of honor. As I said earlier, you know, struggling is not something that should be given a pat on the back or, you know, a badge of honor. And so, you know, I put that down and I went and saw a psychiatrist. And next to therapy, as I mentioned earlier, is honestly the greatest thing I've done as I reflect back on my journey with mental health and also my 20s and approaching 30 as well. I will say it's definitely not for everyone, but, you know, at least I would say if it's something that you're considering and that you're thinking about, you can go and get an evaluation. There is not a requirement of taking medication by doing that, but it is honestly good to get a mental evaluation. As I said earlier, there are so many mental issues that can show up in so many ways, and it could become a norm or feel normal to feel a way that honestly isn't normal to feel. There definitely does not have to be shame, although it is understood why that would be a thing. But, you know, I want to just emphasize that your health is your business, and that is a boundary that should be maintained for mental health as it is with any other form of health that you deal with. And this is not something that you're doing for others. This is something that you're doing for yourself. And it's not for any of those that might have a perspective on it. If for nothing else, I want to encourage everyone to take their mental health seriously and be proactive about it. As I mentioned earlier, use Psychology Today. Reach out to these therapists. See if they have a sliding scale if you don't have insurance. Google about community programs around you for mental health. Let this be a sign if you've been thinking about it and have not done it yet. It is worth it. And you definitely deserve it.